We're going to bring Michael up here, and he's going to share with us the scriptures that God used in his life when he was really going through this journey. And so would you just give a welcome to our brother?
This on?
Yes, it's on.
Gary makes this look easy. It's not. I want to share a little bit about the trials and tribulations and how scripture worked within our lives of my family. If I get a little emotional, got to bear with me on that. My voice is going to crack. I even brought some Kleenex, so you never know. I am okay. I will get through this. Back in 2019, my wife was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. And you got the scripture? There we go. You know, we got down on our knees. Of course, we were upset. We didn't know what direction we were going in. A lot of questions come into your mind, like, is she going to survive this? What am I going to do? A lot of it was really selfish in the beginning. And every time that I had a question, what I was going to do, I kept having this feeling come over me that, go to the Word, look in your Bible. And the one scripture, one day I was down on my knees and I was like, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose my wife. I have a son. I have a 15-year-old son. I have grandkids. What are we going to do? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all ways and he will guide you on the right path. A calm and a peace came over me when I did that. I realized that I really don't have a whole lot of control over this. And I started going back and kind of looking at my life and what got me to this point right here. And I realized that God had a plan all along. I'm a paramedic. I've been a paramedic for 18 years. So I understood the pathophysiology part of what was going on with my wife. I understood how to treat her. My dad had passed away 2 years ago when I was part of the hospice team that was able to take care of him. So I really understood what was going to happen and what was going on. But I will tell you that through each trial and each tribulation that we had, there was scripture and there was an answer for it. We asked God to help us. I can't tell you how many times I got down on my knees or my family got down on knees and we asked God to help us. And he answered. He just didn't always answer with what we wanted to hear. But there was always that answer. And sometimes it was just a phone call from a neighbor or a phone call from a brother. Sometimes it was when she was in the hospital, it was somebody just showing up just to say, hey, man, we love you. Can we bring you a meal? All of that put together showed me and really enrolled in me that God was protecting me and he prepared us for this. Now, in this year, she passed away in 2021, July 23rd, so it hadn't been that long. But when I go back and I look at every little step of that, God was there. He was carrying us. You know, I would be a mess right now. 3 weeks ago, my wife passed away, and I'm standing up in front of a church, and I'm shaking in my boots right now. And I'm not shaking because my wife passed away. I'm shaking because I'm not Gary Ladd. You guys didn't notice that, right? But in my heart, I need to share this. I need to praise God. I need to honor God with everything that he's done for us. One of the deacons, right after Joey got cancer, came up to me and goes, have you praised God for your wife having cancer? And I looked at him like he was crazy. Like, really? Praise God for my wife having cancer? But you know, when I thought about it, it wasn't easy. I went home. Again, we got down on our knees and we praised God. Thank you, God, for my wife having cancer. Now, I know what God didn't give my wife cancer. I know that. And he could take it away from her. But when I got down on my knees and I asked and I said, thank you, Lord, for my wife having cancer, again, a calm and a peace came upon me. And I will tell you that throughout this whole trial and tribulation, that this is one of the greatest times of my life. Sad, because, you know, my son lost his mom, I lost my wife, but what the experience that I went through, the love that I felt, amazing. The love that I felt from God, the way my family came together. It was an amazing journey. I wouldn't trade it. I'd like that the outcome to be a little different, but get my voice from cracking here. I would like the outcome to be different, but the trial that we went through was amazing. The conversations that we had while she was in bed were amazing. My son getting to know our deep inner thoughts, getting to know where he came from, getting to know everything about us. Sometimes that takes a lifetime to get there. And we got to go through that in 2 years. God made that happen for us. That's what he wanted. And we got the message. Kick the next one up there, please. Good. There was a time, and this was recently, I woke up in the morning, and I know the end was getting really close with my wife. I prepared my family. I prepared my son. I prepared our daughter. We talked to our grandkids. We knew it was coming, and I'm like, I don't know what to pray for today. I'm on the side of my bed. I'm on my knees. I got my hands up on the bed, and I did not know what to pray for. I got two or three Bibles in my room right there. I can't say that I read all of them right there, but I opened up the New King James Version, and Romans 8:25 through 26. I'm just going to read it verbatim off the screen. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that right there was an answered prayer. Because I was literally going, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray for. I mean, how can you not know what to pray for? But that was in my mind and in my heart at that moment. And I realized that the Holy Spirit was inside of me. And it was praying for me. I may have been groaning and crying. But the Spirit inside of me knew what needed to be said. And again, calm came over my body. Next one. A lot of thoughts go through your mind while you're going through your trials and tribulations. You know, I like to say that Satan's always in there, and he's telling you, oh, you know what, you can't do this, you can't do that, or, you know, look what God did to you, or you know, things like that. The hardest thing that we went through during this tribulation was just keeping our mind clear and honoring God with everything that we did. Timothy 4 and 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. I write this journey. I wrote it, I think there's 50-something of them. And it was almost a journal of what we went through in the last couple of years. And I realized when I wrote, a lot of them were just funny. Little silly things, little silly signs I saw in the doctor's office, little things I saw out in the street, whatever the case was. But I realized when I wrote the first 13 that I was not honoring God. I didn't even have the word God in any of them. It was really just my thoughts. So I started praising the Lord in everything that we do. And that's when I started really accepting that, you know what, God, this is, you got this. I can't do anything on my own. This is all in your hands. And that's when the feelings kept coming over me. You know what? Continue your ministry. Continue to honor me. Continue to praise me. Continue to do that. And again, that calm and that peace came over my body when we begin to do these things. The next one, there we go. This is my favorite scripture. Now, I know I'm a paramedic. I'm also in law enforcement. But when I was brand new, I'd be going to these calls, and you know, no telling what kind of call it was. It could be a domestic or something that was worse than that. And I would always put my head down and say, Joshua 1:9. You know, and I'm going to read that again verbatim. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And the Lord God was with us through this whole trial and tribulation. I could go on here, and if I really had my journeys out right here, I could do this for 3 hours. And the journeys are they're so exciting and funny and sad, and it really gives you an insight to where I've been and where we're going. I know that that our faith is secure, our faith is strong. That in your trials and in your tribulations, if you honor God, things are going to work out. Because he's got this. It's in his hands. But don't forget to thank him for the position that you're in, because you don't know what's going to come out of it. Like I said, best time of our lives was going through that cancer. And that sounds weird because she's gone. Of course, we know where she went. We grieve, but do not grieve without hope. One of my sisters in this church right here, she sent me a text this morning. It was so appropriate because I got asked to do this last night. I was really nervous coming up here. And she sent me a text of encouragement. And Sandy, for the life of me, I can't remember what you sent me. but your blessing worked for me this morning. I do appreciate that. I'd like to go ahead and just close out my portion right here in prayer, if you guys don't mind. Holy Father, I am so thankful that you allowed me to stand up here and talk today, Father God. I'm so thankful for the trials and tribulations that you put us through. Father God, we know that when we trust in you, that everything will work out, Father God, because we can't help you, Father God. We know that as much as we try, as much as we want to, that you have a plan, Father Lord, and you didn't tell it to us, but we know that by our obedience, Father God, that we will get through all the trials and tribulations that we need to. We thank you for each other, Father God. We thank you for this church. We thank you for being the our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, the great I Am. We just love you, Father God, and we ask that you watch over each and every one of us and keep us safe. Amen.
That only comes from Jesus, right? That kind of hope. And that's what he's telling you. It only comes from Jesus. He's an honest man. Without Jesus, I'd be a different man. And Michael and Zeke, we do continue to pray for you, and we love y'all. And I'm grateful for you. I enjoy our friendship, and I've gotten to know Michael better in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last year and a half. And Zeke, I've known for a long time. Would you join us? Would we pray for them right now? That the Lord would minister to them. Let me pray. Father God, I know Michael and Zeke have said many times it's not about them, and it's not. You're using them. It's your story. But Lord Jesus, we agree together as a church, and we just ask that you would continue to shine bright in their life. Lord, as they still grieve and go through the emotions of learning life together without mom or a wife, Lord Jesus, would you please just be near them and comfort them with only the way that you can. We are so thankful for them in our church and our family, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Brother Gary did send us a note this morning, and because I asked him to. I'm like, send us a note. We really want to hear, even if it's just a paragraph or two. So he literally peeled himself off the bed, I'm sure, and wrote this to us. But before I share this, because he uses a scripture this morning from Psalms 46. That's the scripture we're going to have on the screen for you, Psalms 46. He felt that this was a scripture that he actually focused on in Alaska, and he realized that he needed, and maybe God wanted us to focus on that this morning. And said he actually started off his note saying, "Well, friends, getting COVID was certainly not in my plans. My plans were to return to preach a rip-roaring message of encouragement of how God works through and uses his people. Instead, God is observing and teaching me to observe the theme of the Renewal House in Alaska." And the theme verse is this, Psalms 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And I'm like, well, I'm going to go read Psalms 46. And I want us to do that this morning, because I think if we just read only verse 10, we actually don't get how powerful it is. We think, okay, be still. Go find a quiet pasture somewhere. Turn off all the music and sit on a blanket and just be still. And that's what this verse is all about. Be still and just watch the crickets and watch the birds and just calm yourself. And then know I am God. That is not the context of this verse. It's not even close. Because a lot of us actually don't have time and opportunity to do that. And we make it, and it's wonderful when we get to, amen? Like when you get to go and be in those spots and watch nature and see and be still and rest with him, you see him, you know he's God, but that's not what this verse is about. So this verse is actually written to be sung in the temple, right, by the sons of Korah. And it's supposed to be sung by sopranos, actually, it says in Scripture. I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. It's not happening. All right? We're I'm not even asking her to do that. That'd be weird. All right? But it was written for the choir or the church to read a portion and then to have somebody read in between, and then the church would respond again. And so this was something they did in the temple, and it's something we can do today. Now, obviously, there's no music to it, and we don't have... I'm not going to sing it, the portion, but the portion you will read in bold and like a different color here, as you say, is for the choir director, a song of the descendants of Korah who lived at the temple. It'll be in a different color, and we will read it together, and that portion would be sung normally to music. So we're just going to have to do some sanctified imagination. But when we get to the portion, it starts with you, all right? I want you to read it loud. Or sing it, say it loud, don't sing it, that'd be kind of, well, you could, whatever. All right, so let's stand as we read Psalms 46. And there are portions, well, I'll be reading for a moment longer, but as I read, you're going to get to be excited about what you get to respond with. That's the point of this song, is to be encouraged by Scripture. So let's go to verse 2, and this is where it starts. It actually starts with the choir who would have sung this. So I'm going to say this with you, not to leave you kind of on your own. Megan and all of us will sing this, and at home, you're not off the hook. You should be saying it at home too, all right? We want Scripture read everywhere. So let's say this together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So that was try one. Let's try that again now that we know the pace. Let's say it like we mean it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And let me read this next part over you. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though it waters, they roar and they foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. What he's describing here, I'm going to give some footnotes, is the earth is being shaken. Not just the physical earth, but in mind here, it's talking about kingdoms are being shaken and torn, and everything in your life is being, it's rumbling and foam, and water represented chaos in the Old Testament, you know, and it's kind of controlled by God. It got put in its place, right? It said it's all foaming, it's all going crazy, right? Everything is happening. The mountains are swelling, and it says, but there is a river whose stream make glad the city of God. There's this river that goes into the city of God, that's Jerusalem, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, the city. And the city represented where God's presence, his people are. So there's a river, and it's God's grace and his presence flowing into where his people are. And he is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. When everything else is moved, right? You will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms may totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So when all that's going on, he is our fortress. Verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. You're like, what? Where is this going? God is powerful. This is what he does. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. God is battling on our behalf. His people. He is at war with the things that are at war with us. So that's the context. That's what's going on. Watch what he's doing in our life. He is fighting, breaking spears, bringing peace. And then it goes on, verse 10. Be still and know I am God. He's making peace. He's fighting the battle. And in the midst of him, reckon people, wrecking our enemies. And when it's all still and the battle is over in our life and we can see what he's doing, he says to us and the enemy, be still. No, I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth, in my people. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. 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 And you may be seated. And y'all may be seated too, actually. Well, actually stay here. It's a short note, so just hang out. So I just thought reading that together, because our life doesn't feel like a pasture. It doesn't feel just like, you know, and God does lead us to still waters. He does lead us to be refreshed. That is a part of what God does in our life through his Spirit. But right now, don't feel like that time. When I've been looking at our church body, and there's men who literally get off an airplane, want to see their family, and have to go sit in their room for a week and not see their kids or help their kids go to school, and there's moms now who've been caring for kids and for their life and everything, and then the husband goes home who usually is going to help, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to do this myself for another week or 10 days. Or there's other members of our church who are in the hospital that keep getting bad news. It gets better, then it gets worse, and it's a battle. In our church, as Gary will say, we are encouraging and loving on one another, and we're serving a God who is breaking spears, protecting us, and defending us, and he wants us to be still in the fight. Because who is fighting on our behalf? He is. So if you're just flailing at everything, that's not what he wants us to be doing. That's not what this verse is about. He wants us to be still and know that he has the battle and he will be exalted in your life, even in the hard times, even in the bad things that we would see are bad. He will be exalted if we stop and listen and watch, which as Michael just said, I had to stop and praise, and then I realized God's still in this. So now I get to read Gary's portion. All right, that just really blessed me this morning, having his note. So he reads this. So you all know that verse, be still and know that I am God, but do you practice it? Do you ever struggle with putting your life, your family's life, your job, your finances in God's hands? As God's people, we are to trust him, to listen, and to be obedient. Be still. We are not to dream our own dreams, plan our own plans. That's not the pattern Scripture gives us. God already knows what he's purposing to do through those of us he's called. He knows what he wants for us. He's called us. He's not distracted. He's not delayed by COVID. Or anything else, actually. He is, however, waiting for us to adjust ourselves to his purpose so that he can work powerfully through us. So when we sit and we listen and we depend on him, that's when he's like, now I'm going to move to redeem a lost world. You see, I see God at work in our church. I see God at work in our staff and our wonderful team that works at church. I see God at work in the 20 men who gave their time and vacations and efforts to serve an Alaskan church in need. I see God at work in the way they returned even ill and yet did not fail to be there for one another or encourage each other, cheer for each other, and pray one another on. I see your love in action as a church for one another. It's a better sermon than I could have ever preached. And I am so very proud to be a part of this church family. Watch to see what God is doing, church, especially during this time. Watch for him. Listen to what the Spirit is trying to say to you as part of our church. For God always reveals his purpose to those he wants to accomplish his will. So listen. Listen carefully. You will not hear God in the rush of the daily activity often. but in quiet solitude, in choosing to rest and be quiet. Be still. Be still and know that he is ever present, all powerful, all caring, and all loving towards you. And you are his child. Oh, how we thank you, Lord. I am so glad and proud to be your pastor, Brother Gary.